Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners there.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you Douglas, Father. Douglas Michael at that.
Yeah.
But we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for some 40 years. And you can help us a lot in the coming weeks. On Sunday, April the 23rd, we're going to have our annual Wake Up America dinner that'll be from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon at the Malvern Retreat House, 315 South Warren Avenue in Malvern. Kathleen McCarthy will be our keynote speaker. The broadcasters, engineers, and other folks that volunteer here will be on hand, as they always are. And if you want to come out and have enjoy the afternoon with us, you can register by calling Maureen here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, to get all the information, including information on how to become a sponsor for the event. I'd ask you to go to our website at inhissign.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see a link there that to download a flyer with all that information. It's just $55 per person, $100 per couple, or do like Our House Ministries did, get a table of eight for $400. And we need your support in order to bring you great shows like today's. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church at 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open from 9 a.m. until at least 5 a.m. or 5 p.m. rather on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Tuesdays, it'll remain open till a little after 6. Father Foley hears confessions from 4 to 5. And then there's a holy hour from 5 to 6. And you are more than welcome to come down and join us for that. On Thursdays, we usually wrap up the day with a rosary at 4 o'clock. So the rosary will wrap up around 4:30, and people may mill about for a little while after that. But the shrine usually closes probably by 4:45. On Thursdays. Get in touch with us at Our House Ministries. Go to the Our House Ministries website and go to the contact page and get in touch with me. And Father and I can always meet you if you decide to make the trip down. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximin Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Monica, St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. John of God and St. Camillus de Lellis.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. And Ken, maybe just if we can end with the Hail Mary as we pray that prayer every week for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot that we've been praying for little Luke. Two Hill. You know, I don't know if everybody knows. I've been over to the hospital. He's 13 years old, and he's in remission for leukemia, and he's suffering a lot with liver problems. And when I was first called over there about a month ago, he was on a ventilator, and at that time it looked like we were going to lose him, really. So gave him all the sacraments, sacrament of the sick, and also had the Blessed Sacrament on him, and plenary indulgence. And then I asked the mother about confirmation, so I actually confirmed him too. And next week I went back, the ventilator's off, and the following week I went back, he's sitting up. He's still fighting for his life. He's still sick, and he, the mother and father, they've been praying through the intercession of Matt Talbot and certainly our Blessed Mother, because the Holy Trinity doesn't really act except through her. So anyway, Geraldine wrote a beautiful prayer for the for Matt Talbot's intercession, and in this prayer, it's just invoking Matt Talbot. She saw that the liver, you know, many alcoholics suffer with liver problems as drug addicts do. And she wrote this beautiful prayer for the intercession of Matt Talbot. And I'd just like to pray that now. Intercede for Luke in asking for healing of his liver. We know that the liver is an organ that is particularly affected by the struggles of alcoholism and so is of particular significance to the cause of Venerable Matt Talbot. From the treasury of your mercy and in honor of your servants' faithfulness and sanctity, we ask this request in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And just a Hail Mary, Ken. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Venerable Matt Talbot, pray for Luke and all of us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I only had a minute to talk to Father before we came on the air, and I had noted that in looking at the liturgical calendar for this week that there are zero saints. And I don't know if it's just the way that this week's fallen, but I think it's the first time in 8 years that there wasn't a single saint on the liturgical calendar. So last Saturday we celebrated the Feast of the Incarnation and or the Annunciation, and next week we're going to be in the midst of Holy Week. We'll actually Wednesday we'll be in the middle of Holy Week, and of course the Triduum will start on Thursday. So we thought that we'd start the discussion with the Incarnation. And by all means, if you want to call in and join the conversation, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God moment. And I got a good one for everybody, but the more we get, the better. You know, call in and witness to one another what God has done in your lives. So that being said, last week Father was not with us, and I had planned to talk about the Annunciation, and we just, with the number of folks that called in, we ran out of time, and I only had a minute or so. And, you know, the one thing I had mentioned, Father, is that, you know, I think sometimes people might think that the birth of Christ was probably the pivotal moment in history, and I had mentioned that I really thought it was the Annunciation, the incarnation of Christ in Mary's womb. Once that was, you couldn't have the Nativity without that one. And I guess you could keep going back. There were, you know, you couldn't have the Incarnation without Mary's Immaculate Conception and what have you. But for me, that's the pivotal moment in all the history of in salvation history of when things changed. Of you know, that there's not been any other single event in the course of human history that changed things like that day did. So many generations of Israelites and the Jews were looking forward to that day, although many of them missed it, obviously. And for our Lord and Savior to take on human flesh while remaining divine in the womb of the Blessed Mother, to be born 9 months later on Christmas Day, you know, it's like no other event in history. And you know, you say it all the time that you know a father would never send his son, you know, for a pack of animals, but he would certainly send it to save the rest of his brothers and sisters. And it's only because of this event that eventually Jesus would suffer his passion, that we'll probably talk about later in the show, and definitely experience again next week during the Triduum. But you know, without the Annunciation and Incarnation, that would have never been able to happen, and the gates of heaven would never be open to us. And because of them, they are. And it's incredible to me today to actually be able to comprehend at least some of this, and truly realize how much God loves us and how much He wants for us to spend the rest of eternity with Him in heaven. And that you know, it's not something that we can take for granted. And I think the closer that you get to God, and the more that's revealed, and we have these odder God moments, and people talk about how God has touched them in a particular way as a way to witness to others, that you know, we need to look for these things, and when they happen, you know, understand that God truly wants to be an integral part of our life, and not just integral. He wants to be our life, period. He wants us to conform our will to His will, maybe even give up our will entirely to live His will. And so, you know, it's just a gift to have that. You know, for so many years it didn't have that and wandered around either not aware or not caring. And to have it today is truly a gift. And I don't know if I said something or people were already thinking about calling in, Father, but the phones are lighting up already.
All right.
So if you don't mind, I'm going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Yes.
How are you? You're on the air with Ken and Father Doug.
Hey, Ken. Father Doug, the last time I called was either 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget. And I thought we were done. I hung the phone up, but then you started talking. Do you remember what you wanted to tell me?
Oh, gosh, Frank.
I know, the million-dollar question.
I really don't remember, but it might have been seeing the change in you, the gentleness,
yeah.
And how well you've been embracing that cross now. I think maybe that's what I was saying, because I was really impressed with
you. Yeah, because I was saying, well, last week was my anniversary, and I want to thanks to Captain Lou. Hope he's listening.
Yeah. Yeah, Captain Lou.
But you guys, too, you and Ken, a couple of years ago before I got it, I was in bad shape, and you guys helped me a lot, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, glad to hear about the anniversary, Frank. How long's it been?
It was 3 years on 21st.
Amen.
Congrats.
Good stuff. Well, and all congratulations to God. You know, we cooperate, but He's the one that really helps us. He's the one, the only one that can remove that obsession that we have, and it doesn't mean all our problems are over. And I know you've struggled over the years, even after getting away from what you're addicted to. But the life's a whole lot better without that compounding the problems that we already have. So I'm so happy for you, Frank. You kept fighting a good fight. You could those times that we would talk off the air. And, you know, I could tell you just really wanted it, but for whatever reason, God delayed a little bit. But it sounds like he's come through for you, and you do. You sound so much better today than you did, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago when we were first introduced to each other.
I know. Again, Ken, you and Father Doug, the best. You know, Captain Lou, not only with my drinking, but all my medical problems, he's always there for me. He's top-notch guy. And thanks again. I appreciate everyone listening. Pay attention to Father Doug and Ken and everyone else out there.
Yeah, and,
thanks a lot. Oh, before. You've all heard the saying before, but it's so true. Stick with winners. Don't be around negative people. They can pull you down really easy. Stick with winners. Simple as that.
All right. Don't hang up yet, Frank. I think Father's got something to say.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, Frank, it was something that Ken said about cooperation. And you've been cooperating with Grace, and it's so evident and revealing. It's inspiring for us to see what Grace can do. And it was something, you know, that when Ken mentioned cooperation these past 3 years, it was something St. Augustine said, that God who created us without our cooperation can't save us without cooperation. So it's really having faith, believing in him, and that strength we need to receive, and you have been receiving it. So you've been a good example, Frank, so I just thank you for that. What Grace can do when you give Jesus permission to come into your life and take care of you, and he has. So God bless you,
Father Doug.
Yeah.
Someday, like when I'm off the air or whatever, tell some people about St. Augustine's story, what he overcame, everything he was facing.
Right.
Yeah.
He was probably the first miracle.
Yeah, and just for folks that are listening, you know, Father and I, because of our the work here with the radio, and especially because of the work with Our House Ministries, Father especially gets a number of calls from people whose kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews are really struggling with addiction, and they're frustrated because they just don't know what to do to help, you know, those that they love. And this is I think Frank and Captain Lou are a perfect example of somebody like Captain Lou, who just continues day in and day out to let somebody know that they care about them and that there is a solution, that he prays for them. And, you know, when you have somebody in your life that you know wants what's best for you, even though you're not able to grasp it right away, when you know that you have somebody in your corner, it makes all the difference in the world. And Captain Lou never gave up on you, Frank. And for those that are listening, if you have family members that are struggling, or friends who have family members that are struggling, you know, we need to stay in their corner. That doesn't mean that we continue to enable them and cause things that may be even more detrimental. But we continue to let them know that we love them, that we'll do whatever we can to help them if they'll let us. But in particular, you know, Captain Lou's not a family member for Frank. And Father and I, we talk about this a lot, about praying for the stranger, that it's going to be somebody outside of the family, because usually people in the throes of addiction don't want to hear from family members because they're just too close. And they oftentimes don't completely understand what's going on in the mind of the addict. And so we pray for that stranger that's going to come along and actually help them. But
hey,
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you or Father Doug know Captain Lou's nickname when he was in school? It's grade school, high school. Do you know what his nickname was?
I don't. Father, do you know what it was?
I might have heard it, but what is it, Frank?
Well, I always tease him saying that he's a living saint. His nickname, he was so great to people, it was Father Lou. Father Lou, they called him.
How about that?
Oh, wow.
How about that? Yeah.
You know, with Captain Lou, I was just thinking, too, and thanks for praising him, because when we praise him, we're really praising the goodness and the Lord himself that's coming through him. But I was just thinking, you know, being a great police officer that he is, the captain, that if everybody was like Captain Lou, we wouldn't need a police force. We wouldn't need any police officers.
Yeah.
We'd be heaven on earth. Thanks, Frank. God bless you and Captain Lou.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, Frank.
Alexa.
Yeah.
Good guy. You know,
yeah.
It's great to hear from people when, you know, things are going well. Oftentimes we hear from them when things are going bad and they're in the throes of their struggles. And sometimes those struggles don't end. And sometimes we never know, you know, what happened to them. You know, they come into our lives for a short period, and then they're gone again. So to hear how well Frank's doing these days is just awesome. And like you said, Father, it's a testament of how God can work in our lives if we just cooperate.
Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Remarkable grace.
Yeah.
Well, back to the Annunciation, I was thinking that it's my favorite feast day, you know, Solemnity. And as you were saying, Ken, that without the Annunciation, which is a door feast of the Incarnation, where the Word becomes flesh, without the Incarnation, there's no Christmas, no Good Friday, no Easter Sunday, no Ascension, you know, no Pentecost. So it's that, that yes with our Blessed Mother, that fiat. And I just, you know, what hit me today, I have this little painting on my door, Ken, when you come up, you probably saw it with the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the Trinity, and she has her hands at her, you know, at her breast, and with the Trinity right there, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that she is so filled with God, that, you know, when she said yes, it, you know, Jesus didn't come from outside her, but from inside her. He was already there by her Immaculate Conception. She's already filled with the Holy Trinity. And it's like, really, the Trinity does not act. That's something that hit me, too. I always heard Maximilian Kolbe saying that the Holy Spirit never acts except with the Blessed Mother and through her. And it's like, neither does the Father or the Son. You know, because Mary is filled with God. It's whatever she says, whatever she does, it's all God's will. Let it be done to me as you say, that fiat, you know, with all her might. You know, it's just not like haphazard, like, oh, all right, maybe. No, all my might. Yes, let it be done to me as you say. And the important thing here, Ken, we need to really emphasize this feast because it's where life begins. It's 9 months before we come into the world. You know, March 25th, and then it's Christmas 9 months later. And we see it also in her Immaculate Conception. You know, she's conceived at conception, and then 9 months later, September 8th, we celebrate her birthday. So we see where life begins. For us Catholics, there should be no doubt whatsoever when life begins. It begins at the beginning, you know, and we're spirits first, and then we take our bodies. It's like, let there be a Douglas, let there be a Ken, and then we happen. And then he puts us into our bodies, and of course our souls now are going to animate our bodies, you know. We're going to have will and intellect and memory as we get older. And it's so miraculous when you think about these deep thoughts of God. But, you know, I think of that prologue of John. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwells among us. And there's no greater condescension than that. I mean, love stoops, and divine love stooped all the way down to us to pick us up, and to make us like himself, to share eternal life with us, his very own life, that we become God by participation. You know, saints have told us that. We see that. And we act like God when we're good, when I'm peaceful and forgiving and merciful and loving and compassionate. I'm that's God coming through me. I don't have that of myself, you know. And then when I'm rejecting that, then bad things come through me, and it's misery and pain and darkness. But God comes into our fallen nature to lift us up into his very own divine nature. But that stooping down, what love, what humility. There's no greater humble act than that, because this is the Creator becoming a creature. You know, if I always say, Ken, if I had the ability to become an ant, which I don't, you know, it's a creature becoming a creature. So this is the Creator becoming a creature, so that the creature, you and I, can become like the Creator and live forevermore in the kingdom of God. So this feast, you know, is so much about, you know, when life begins at the very beginning. And after Mass today, went out for breakfast, Ken, with Ralph and Sean. And we were talking about you, and I showed them my baptismal certificate. We were talking about our baptism. And then I was talking about our conception day. And believe it or not, Sean already knew his conception day. And, you know, Ralph was saying he was born on September the 23rd, so he went back to December the 23rd. But that was the feast of Padre Pio. So we were talking about your story, Ken, if you remember, about, you know, when I told the story about when I went into St. Gabriel's, I had the funeral mass. And I didn't know too much about the deceased, so I went back and I asked the wife, asking her, I said, did your husband have any signs of faith? Did he go to Mass? No, Father, he wasn't a Mass goer. Well, was there any signs of faith? He said, well, he did carry his baptismal certificate with him. And you know, I used that in the homily, and I think the secretary wanted to shoot me because everybody lined up for their baptismal certificates. And then I was telling you the story, and you kept putting it off, and the day that you got your baptismal certificate was on the same day that you were baptized. I believe it was June 9th, Ken?
July 9th.
July 9th.
Yeah.
July 9th.
Yep.
Yeah. But odd or God, you know, and we're talking about that. But the whole thing, we go back 9 months, you know. If you just go back 9 months and celebrate that as the time that God created you, and that God created me. And there it is, you know. If that ever catches on, there's going to be cards and cakes, you know, Happy Conception Day. And that would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, the solemnity of the Annunciation is a dual feast. It's the incarnation. At Mary's, yes, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us.
Yeah, and just be careful if you decided that you're going to share it with siblings or anything like that. I remember it was either last year or the year before on September the 10th, I sent my brother and two sisters a text message. You got a little group text going. And with different things that comes up, and I said, today I'm celebrating my conception day, and they're like, ooh, yuck, who wants to, you know, think about that? But you know, they're thinking about it in human terms, not godly terms, you know.
And right, godly terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's, you know, let there be a Douglas, yeah. And it happens.
Amen. Yeah. We got a caller on the line. Let's squeeze, I think it's probably Fruitland Bob. Let's get him in before we go to the break. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, Fruitland Bob. How are you, pal?
Good, good, good. How are you today?
All right. What's going on?
Good. Well, it's, you know, I just wanted to say, like, for Frank, I remember Frank from 2 weeks ago. I don't know Frank at all, but I remember his call, and I remembered it was his third anniversary. And it's funny, you always say about Calyx membership. For a few cents a day, you can have 100 people praying for you every day. Well, but when somebody calls in on the radio, when Frank called in, I stopped right that moment and said a special prayer for him. I'm sure the entire audience did, you know? So that was, you know, Frank got that added benefit just by calling in. But I was going to say about the Annunciation, I found out that it's the most painted scene. So much great art is religious art, but of all the religious art, the Annunciation is the number one most painted scene of all the, you know, miracles that happened. When I go to Mass every day, I pray to Mary to please spiritually lend me her Immaculate Heart so that I can receive Jesus as she received Jesus at the moment of the Incarnation, you know. And when I receive communion under those circumstances, I ask Jesus to come to me through Mary as he came to the world through Mary. I feel like I'm at a concert and I'm getting pulled up on stage with the two of them, you know? And I feel so spoiled. I feel like sometimes like I have a backstage pass for all of this, you know? So, I realize that the Annunciation becomes the Incarnation, you know? It's amazing. It's just amazing. And it's wonderful, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Bob, you need to put
Say, like you said about, you know, people praying. The whole Calyx Society is always praying for each other, you know?
Right.
And like I say, when Frank called, I remember his call. And at that moment when he called, you know, I didn't even know him, and I was so happy for him and proud of him. And I stopped right that moment and said a prayer for him, you know?
Amen. You need to, that your preparation for communion and being on stage and having your backstage pass, you need to put that on paper and send it to me so we can include it in one of the upcoming articles for the Calyx newsletter. That's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Frank, I hope you're listening. You've touched a lot of hearts. You know, Bob,
exactly.
There's something you said that, you know, I've been thinking about myself, where I saw, like, the divine mercy and the miraculous metal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that light that shines through Mary's fingers and all, is the light of God himself. It's the Holy Spirit coming through her, but it's also
right.
Her Son who comes through her and the Father, because God,
right.
Jesus
right.
says that the Father and I are one, and I do the works of the Father. There's no separating the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No
exactly.
separating
exactly.
our God.
Yep.
And like
yep.
he's always shining through Mary, and what you said
yep.
was, I go back to God through Mary, right to the Father's bosom. You know, I go
right.
to Jesus through right. Mary with a smile, To the Father's bosom, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But how true that is, you know. You get older, you get
right.
these deeper thoughts, you know. But
right.
how God loves
right.
us, and how we're all one. We're all meant to be one with the Trinity.
Yep. Yep.
To be one with
yep.
God for all eternity.
Yep.
One with the new Eve and the new Adam, who
yep.
picks up that ball that the old Adam and Eve fumbled, and brings us home for a touchdown into those eternal shores of God's kingdom where all the glory lies.
And you know, something sort of like the backstage passes, the people behind the scenes, I just have to thank Patrick. Every Wednesday, Patrick sends me a reminder, like at 3:30. Radio show's coming up, you know, so you know, I just want to give a shout-out to Patrick.
I think he took Harry's place, you know, getting people.
Exactly.
He must be. He's trying to get a raise. He thinks if he gets more listeners, his pay will get increased.
Well, double salary.
Well, that's it. Like, whose place did Harry take? And we never thought that he could be replaced. And then who would think that anybody could ever equal Harry? You know, and it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It's all God.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
All
well,
grace.
That brought us to the bottom of the hour. We got to take care of some business, Bob.
Absolutely.
Great to hear from you.
All right.
Thanks,
Bob. Good to hear from you. Take
care.
God bless.
And we are going to go to the break, but before we do, the phone numbers, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or perhaps you're listening through our website at inhissign.com. Give us a shout at 888-343-2484. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks, we want to hear about it. Give us a call. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We cannot do this without you, so thank you so much. We didn't get any calls yet, Father. I have an honor, God, that I'd like to share, though, and has to do kind of with the upcoming Passion Week and Holy Week. And a few years back, Patrick had mentioned a statue that made its rounds through Philly with would visit different parishes. A statue of the scourging of Jesus, and I had never seen it. I don't even think I'd ever seen a picture of it. And for whatever reason, when we were talking the other day, I mentioned, you know, I wonder where that statue is. You know, is it at St. Barnabas? Because it had been there before, and that's where the funeral for his sister was yesterday. And Patrick wasn't sure. He was trying to do internet searches to find it and couldn't find anything since COVID had ended, or maybe even since COVID had started. and so weren't sure where it was. And then yesterday, I'm driving on the Schuylkill Expressway on my way to South Philly, and it was about 9 o'clock. I get a call from Patrick, and he let me know that, sure enough, he had found the statue, and it was in St. Barnabas. And I had like a preconceived notion that the statue was going to kind of be like upright with, you know, Jesus on the pillar. And it wasn't that. It was, you know, Jesus lying down and, you know, just his whole body, you know, covered with lacerations. And it's a moving statue. If you've not seen it before, if you're ever in the neighborhood, I'm not sure when St. Barnabas Church is open, but when you come in through the front doors and make a right when you come in, and there's a little room, another right when you come in, and that's where you'll find it. And I spent a few minutes in that room yesterday, and it was a pretty moving experience. And again, it all started with the Annunciation and the Incarnation, and, you know, Jesus would have to live out his life, and from the time he came of age, or at some point in his life, he knew that the walk to Jerusalem was going to come, and that this is how it was going to end, and to see what he was willing to suffer, you know, it when you look at that, it makes all our sufferings pale in comparison, I think. And granted, people suffer a lot, and what have you, but I can only speak for myself, and the sufferings that I've experienced in life have been nothing compared to what he was willing to take on that pillar, and I thanked him for it. I thank him for it all the time now, you know, because it's only through that like I said at the top of the show, that, you know, the gates of heaven were open, and you know, the likes of me are actually have a shot at getting in. So thank you, Jesus. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Ken, if it's the same statue, I missed it yesterday. I'm sorry I did. But if it's the same statue, I've seen that years ago at St. Mary's I think it's 58 and Elwood. And I had a funeral mass. And they had it in the confessional, and they only took it out on Good Friday, probably because it's so graphic to look at. Mm. But anyway, my sister happened to come across it. She said, look at this. And I went and I looked at it, and every part of his body was marked. It was like his skin was rolling off him, like all wallpaper off a wall, and every part of his body was marked. Even his eyes were emotional, and my stomach, I got nauseous looking at it, and maybe that's why they hid it in the confessional. But yet when I looked at it, Ken, I could think of, you did this for me.
Mm.
You did this for me. And I said, Lord, whatever you want, give me the grace to do your will, you know, because it was that powerful for me, you know, looking at that scourged Jesus. You know, a lot of our crucifixes in our churches, it's like baby skin. But when you look at the reality of it, you know, the lacerations, you know, the scourging at the pillar, it's an awful sight to look at, you know. Yeah. But yet that's what he did for each and every one of us, so that we may live forever with our Heavenly Father in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, and I think about the Father, you know, letting his son die like that, you know. That's why Jewish people really had a tough time with believing that Jesus is God. What father would let his son die like that? And you mentioned that, you know, we must be precious to the Father. We have to be his children to let his son go through what he went through, so that we may come home and live forever with him, where we come from, where we're going, and where we belong, with our Heavenly Father. What love the Father has for us, Ken.
Yep.
No nails fastened him to that cross, only his love and the Father's love for us.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah, no, and that reminded me. So last night when we had our Calyx Mass, our good friend Pat Rafferty was there, and I was doing some spiritual reading the last couple of weeks, and in the book it had mentioned the St. Bridget prayers. And I remember Fran Rafferty always had the Pieta prayer book
every day,
and would do the St. Bridget prayers. Well, I never quite understood what they were and what have you. And there was an explanation in the back of the book that the one set of prayers, it was 15 prayers that you said daily, so that over the course of the year, you would pray them 5,840 times, which is supposedly the number of times that Jesus was scourged. And I just thought about Franny and sitting in that back pew in our chapel week after week praying those prayers and the relationship with he had. And I felt blessed to be able to share that with Pat last night, you know, because he was a witness. He didn't often talk a whole lot about his faith. We would talk business for the ministry and that kind of stuff. And I'm sure you had more intimate faith, you know, faith-filled conversations with him that I did, but
all the time. Ken.
But he was a stalwart in that last pew with his Pieta prayer book. Going through those prayers every time I saw him.
Yeah, well, thumb that book.
Yeah.
They say you can't see faith. Well, you look at Franny Rafferty's prayer books, you'll see faith. But he like 20 minutes to go through that. You know, not counting his rosaries and all his other devotions.
Right.
Yeah. But that's how right. We miss him, right?
Gosh. Yeah. Amen.
And I was privileged to be there, you know, at his death with my hands on him, with Pat and the family. They were outside, you know, looking through the glass window because during COVID. But, he would, that's the other thing, confession, he always went to confession. And Franny was never affectionate, you know, like hugging and all that, like, give you a good handshake. But he would always take my hands after the confession and kiss them, Ken.
Mm.
And that, because of in persona Christi, he saw Christ in the priest. And that always touched me because he was never affectionate. But in that confessional, he would kiss my hand.
How about that?
But, yeah, miss him so much. But somebody said the other day, I think it was his son Tommy's mother-in-law, she actually sang. I think she played the organ at Pat Kennedy's sister's graduation ceremony and came back and was talking about Franny and said, he's in heaven praying for us. I said, yes, he is. He said, on earth, he helped us with one hand. In heaven, he's helping us with two. You know, but, yeah, I miss him every day. And there's not a day goes by that I don't think about him and pray for him. And I know he's got our back still, Ken.
Amen. All right, well, we didn't get any calls on any other calls on Is That Odd or Is That God? Did you have any you wanted to share?
Well, just thinking about the the graduation ceremony yesterday, and that was so beautiful and spirit filled, and when I went back to the sacristy, there was a dying, you know, reminding me. And the reading that I picked, Ken, was Come to Me. I felt strong with that. That was, you know, all the gist of my homily, to take that invitation, come to me. When we're sorrowful, when we're mourning, when we're tempted, whatever the situation is, afraid, anxious, just take that invitation and come to Jesus, because he's always there with us. And, I kind of got my homily together and then, you know, looked at the paper. And here a dime comes up in a plastic covering. And it's really about the lost dime being found, you know, what we do, Ken, the lost sheep. And at the end of it was the prayer, come to me. Come to me, exactly what I was preparing. And then when we had the burial, you know, I saw the foundation. I had a stand on it where the good shepherd's going to be, you know. And that was kind of powerful for me, that, you know, and just announcing on Good Shepherd Sunday that we would have the mass there and our dedication for those who are buried there, and also for the statue of the Good Shepherd. On April the 30th, right, Ken?
That's it.
Invite everybody to come, whoever wants to be there.
Yeah, April.
But everything is divinely orchestrated. I keep saying, on schedule, as planned. No matter what happens to us, especially the mishaps in life, Ken, especially the crosses. You know, the Lord's letting them happen for a good reason, whether to humble us, to get this junk out of us so that we can just be purified. You know, like, he's always grounding us down. He's, like, pulverizing us sometimes. And we're bellyaching and complaining and running away from the cross. If we knew what the Lord was doing, we would run into the cross and embrace that, because there's the graces that are coming to us from that power of the cross, from Jesus Christ crucified, so that we can be with Jesus Christ risen in the glory and experience those glory wounds. But, yeah, it was that dime experience. I had another one. No calls, Ken?
Nope.
Share another one.
No calls.
The other one was, I shared it last night, you know, at our Calyx meeting, where we were talking about the Calyx logo, and or some talk about maybe taking the crucifix off it because it looked a little cluttered. But keep the chalice in the Eucharist, because that's what calyx means. It, you know, it's the Eucharist, it's the chalice, it's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I didn't have time to really think about it and respond to that. But the next morning was the Office of Readings, and it was the Sarah serpent, you know, the serpent that bit the Jewish people, their Israelites, in the desert. And they were poisoned, and they were dying. And God said to Moses, you know, mount a Sarah serpent on a pole, and whoever looks at it will be healed. And then, in the movie The Chosen, Moses is talking to Joshua, and Joshua's against it. This seems to be so much against God, like diabolical stuff. He said, give me the pole. God wants this. Give me the pole, and it's a cross. Anyway, that's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. And whoever looks up, I will draw everyone to myself. And he uses the amen, amen, when I'm lifted up on the cross. Amen, amen, he says. You know, don't miss this. Bet your life on it. When I'm lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself. He draws us for healing, for forgiveness, for mercy, for purification. But we got to bring our crosses with his. And then there's no more cross. We're elevated. We're transcended to the Father. And this is peace and joy and strength and courage, fortitude to pick up our crosses and follow the Lord instead of belly aching and complaining all the time about them. They're gifts, disguised gifts for us, that God can transform us like himself and make us like himself. You know, I'm starting to praise God whenever I'm humble, Ken. Get it out, God. Get it all out, you know. But, and then again, the reading was, you know, yesterday, you know, Sarah serpent, foreshadowing the cross. And I said, oh, we got to keep that. And I thought about Bill Montroy and the fathers, the early fathers of Calyx. They had to be inspired to put the crucifix there, because that's what it's all about. You know, we've been bitten with our addictions, with alcoholism. We've been bitten with drug addiction, all addictions. And here's the answer and the solution: to behold the crucified one. You know, when I'm lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself for healing and merciful love and transformation, Ken. So keep our eyes on Jesus, because he's always, always looking at us.
Amen. And he is. And when we keep that in mind, that he's always looking at us, that our behaviors change, our thoughts change, it's not something to run away from, but like you say, to run to. And
yeah.
It's life changing, and especially for those of us that, you know, we're running away all the time, to actually even think about running to the cross is a miracle in and of itself. So, it's all for our betterment, you know. It's all for the glory of God, and which will eventually lead to our own glory. So, don't hesitate.
Don't hesitate. Right. We're coming up on this whole week, what it's all about.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, and that's what I was just going to say. I mean, I remember one year I committed to doing everything that the parish was doing for the Triduum, the Mass of the Last Supper on Thursday, and the Elevation of the Cross on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And we made a tradition now. We always go to the Easter Vigil. I can't remember the last time I went to Mass on Easter Sunday. We always make the vigil, and even though it was the longer of the Masses that, even the kids didn't mind going. And so to just get yourself into that mode and try to not to have to work, like from Thursday night until Sunday, to spend time. I try to spend Good Friday in church. I have a book that was the meditations that Father Cantalamessa gave to the papal household one year on the seven last words of Christ. And I take that book with me to church, and it takes a few hours to get through it. So I might go to church at like 1 o'clock, I'm waiting for the 3 o'clock service and reading that. And just put your whole self into that Triduum, and it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing. So before I turn it back over to you, Father, we do have somebody on the line. We're going to go to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, pal.
Father, I just wanted to call and say, when you guys were talking about the Annunciation. The only thing that came to my mind the whole time you were talking about it was the angels and how through Calyx that has become like a really important prayer in my life. When I go to Mass, I used to go every day. When I first walk in the morning, the first prayer I say is the Angelus. It's just such a compact and, you know, all-inclusive prayer. It's just got a lot to say. And I just went to call on that. And then I guess like next week or we'll start saying the Regina Caeli. And it's a great prayer, but I kind of can't wait till I get back to the Angelus.
I'm the same way.
So, but I also want to say that I've never been to a funeral where I enjoyed myself as much as yesterday. It was so heartwarming to see all my relatives, and of course, I'm like a little bit of a celebrity to them because I'm the oldest male relative left in the family, so they kind of come and give me notes. They come up to me and you know, they all want to know how I'm doing. And it was really a beautiful day.
Yeah, I could hear him hollering at you, too. He must have asked you half a dozen times whether you wanted chicken or salmon.
Yeah. Well, that was it. I'll tell you how that happened. Franny was sitting at our table, and the waitress was behind him, and she asked him seven times at least, and he never answered. And that's when I yelled out, "You know, what do you want, chicken or salmon?" So, kind of like that. It was, and the waitress got a kick out of it too. So that was, she actually said I made her day. So, that was a good thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it was great to see him, Michael. We don't see you as often as we used to.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was thinking about when you guys were talking was, starting to get a little light out at night now.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll venture down to the Calyx meeting. God, I missed it so much.
Yeah, there's a couple guys from Warrington that started coming down. We could probably get you a lift.
Yeah, I know all them guys, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yep.
And last Tuesday, when you had the third week, I think it was last Tuesday, I actually had a ride. And, you guys know what goes on with me, and sometimes I just get so exhausted.
Yeah.
I just say, I can't do it, you know.
Right. So, all right, pal.
It was great to see everybody yesterday.
Yeah, and it was good to see you. Father?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. God bless you and keep up your good work. You're an inspiration to so many. All right, Ken.
All right.
I just want to, how much time we have, Ken?
Just about 5 minutes, Father. Thanks, Mike. I'm going to let you go, pal. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
God bless.
God bless, Michael. Yeah, he is an inspiration.
Yeah.
Deep faith. There's something St. Mother Teresa wrote about Holy Week, and I just wanted to read that because it's pretty powerful. And she's actually writing what Jesus would write to us. And it's like Jesus saying, "Dear loved one, this week I ask you to spend some time with me, loving me as I seek to love you. I ask you to be with me in my woundedness, wounds that have come about because I have chosen to love both my Father and you. in spite of any circumstances that would have me to do otherwise. In my loving, I have been wounded because I have not turned back, because I have laid down all my defenses and any protection that might shield me from the hurt. I have chosen to love, even when it's tough, even when it makes no sense to those outside my heart. It is my Father who beckons me to love so tenderly and compassionately in the face of so much rejection, nonsense, and confusion. I watch my Father hold a broken, pained, and suffering world to his heart, never giving up, never withholding his love, never ceasing his efforts to recreate with his love. And so I, too, outstretch my arms to embrace the pained, the wounded, the weak, the suffering. I seek to embrace you. I love you dearly. I will never cease to open my arms and my heart that so desire you to draw nearer. I am grateful that you have chosen to love me in return. I need your love, tough love, love that is willing to hold me in my woundedness when I'm hurting, when I'm rejected, when my body is messy and cut. Can you love me that much? Dear loved one, can you let go of your defenses, your control, your protections that shield the hurt and hold me, the wounded Christ, the wounded body of Christ? And do you allow me to hold you, your pain, your anger, your longing, your fear, your love? Be free in my love. I will always be with you. I have loved you until death. And remember that my wounds are my glory. They are the eternal marks of my love, never to be forgotten or removed. For love is eternal. The wounds of love are eternal. And what you do in love for me, in love with me, can never be reversed or wasted. And so I ask you again, draw near, and like my mother and my closest friends, hold my torn and wounded body, whose heart is holding you. I love you always, Jesus, your Savior and dearest friend. Isn't that beautiful, Ken?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
You know what hit me there with the glory wounds? And, you know, when I was on the retreats at Mount Vernon, I would take a statue of Matt Talbot, and at the end I said, who can ever answer this question will receive this statue. And I said, okay, here it is, the question. What are the five man-made things in heaven? What are the five made man things in heaven? And they said, everything's God made. I can't think of anything, you know. And I would give hints. Good Friday. And then they would come up with the five wounds. And we'll always see those glory wounds in heaven. We'll always see that love that he's always had for us, Ken. Always and everywhere. The glory wounds brings us into his glory.
Amen. And, you know, God, it's always interesting to me, you know, again, having been away from the church, and then when you come back and you really get involved in more than just going to Mass on Sunday and following the liturgical calendar, and even if you don't make daily Mass, looking at the daily readings, and how our church in all its wisdom has set aside these seasons, you know, the Advent season and especially the Lenten season, and then the upcoming Holy Week and Easter season to follow, that it gives us an opportunity to really concentrate on these things. You may not do it day in and day out, but because it comes around every year, we're reminded of really what's important, and probably even more importantly, what's not important. And so, you know, now's the time to get plugged in. We just got about 30 seconds left, Father, if we could get your blessing.
Okay. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And Lord, as we approach Palm Sunday, Holy Week, draw our hearts closer to yours, Lord. Help us to know the love you really have for us and the Father's love. And bless us all, this whole world of ours, all those who suffer with addictions and all those who are suffering with sickness in hospitals, all those who are listening and who are lonely at home, all the elderly. Make our hearts all one with yours, dear Jesus, through your Mother Mary, your Holy Spirit, and let us know the Father's presence with us and his deep transforming love. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Thanks, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We got Peter DePalma on the line, and it's Divine Will Wednesday. We'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. Don't go away. We'll be right back.